CliffCentral.com.
It's next year. It is next year. There was a year before, and then that changed, and it became this year. It is the GCS takeover. My name is MKT, and I'm joined by two human beings who also live in this year, according to me being able to see them. One is a Portuguese individual who is Portuguese, and the other is another person who I had lunch with yesterday, and he forced me to sit in the sun because he couldn't organize an umbrella. That's Jaco Voigt, CEO of Catalytic. Gentlemen, how are you? Welcome to 2022.
Good morning.
So I made it out of Mulder's Drift alive.
Okay. That's an awesome place to start. Wow. So were you in...
why were you there?
So I kept my underpants on. At all points. I didn't have a skull cap. I didn't antagonize police, and I think that's a key point of making out of Mulder's Drift on New Year's Eve alive.
Good call.
Did you go looking for trouble there or what? Were you looking for the popo?
I didn't, but when you go to Mulder's Drift, trouble finds you.
Yeah.
So, So you've got to be head on a swivel. TV1, TV2, you've got to keep your head on a swivel.
And yourself, Jaco, how was New Year's? We're in 2022 now. Where were you? Were you in Mulder's Drift, or did you just keep it local?
No, I was almost as boost as the Boosterans. I was in Midrand, it sounded like a war zone with all the crackers going off and people partying it up. But we threw it and we made it.
So are fireworks still a thing, by the way? Because I didn't realize they were a thing. They stopped being a thing for me at about the age of 10, but I now realize that they're still a thing.
In Midrand, it's very much a thing. Don't ask me why, but it's a big thing.
Yeah. So I live in a complex, right? And the people next door to me are Indian, but not like Durban Indian oaks. I mean, like from India. And for Diwali, we live in a complex, so it's like, wall-to-wall stuff. They're just like, okay, well, firecrackers, this is what we're doing. And it just sounds like I'm in the trenches in Iraq, That's what it sounded like. I mean, I wasn't, obviously. There's Woolworths around the corner.
I'll invite you one evening in Diwali. You can come and check it out. It's it's quite entertaining. It's not just noise-making. It makes all kinds of colors and... Yeah, it's a thing. It's a big thing.
And all of that. Okay.
And then New Year's, apparently. So, yeah.
Is there such a thing as the fireworks that don't make noise? Because that was supposed to be a thing for a while. Because it's quite a tricky situation because you've got fireworks and then there's, obviously the effects on animals and that. But there's also, we got to be cognizant of people's cultures and that's how people celebrate. And then there was supposed to be a thing that we're all, righteous about having, noiseless fireworks. Was that ever a thing, or was it just like a myth?
Yeah, no,
like it's love.
Well, like true love. Yeah,
fella, I don't know. Fireworks was never really a big thing for me. I grew up in Georgia. Whenever we heard loud noises, we either shot back or we hit the deck. It's one of the two. So I don't know. It's bizarre for me.
No, it must have been the number one trending topic on neighborhood WhatsApp groups all over the place.
I thought that these things were banned. I thought this is bloody ridiculous. Is there any cases going to be opened?
It was just that was how my WhatsApp sounded as I read them, opening them on the morning. I was it's not right, but I mean, what you can do about it,
Yeah, that's also very true.
You're going to get me in trouble now. I was saying to Mbalelo yesterday where I stay, there's a number of... community groups, and it's that's why I go for my entertainment. It's very entertaining. I can't express myself the way I want to. I said to Mbalelo and my wife the day when I sold my house that last week when I know I'm out of here, I'm gonna go balls to the wall in that one. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, this time of the year is just a haven to be in those community groups. I'm a nun except the one in my complex, which is all I need. I don't need any extra feedback from people outside, except when they put a speed bump up in 2 days so that we can be safe in our road. Then I go, awesome. You people are fantastic. That's it. That's all I want to know.
wow, what's it's the amount of like Happy New Year's and blessings things. That's the one that gets you around about now. It's like, that's unnecessary. We get it. We're not here for friends. We're here for speed bumps. We're not here for Happy New Year's messages, right?
You've raised an excellent point there, Paolo. I think that's something we need to address, and I want to address it immediately out of the gate. I don't need to hear Happy New Year on the 3rd anymore. I don't want to hear compliments of the season on the 3rd of January anymore. Like, what are we up to? I don't think that's particularly grumpy, right? It's like, let's move on now. We're already in the year. We're like, the 1st, great. The 2nd, the 3rd, come on now.
Yaku, what's your cutoff? Because Umbulelo and I had this conversation the other day about what the cutoff is. What's your cutoff on season's greetings? Because there's the whole corporate minefield to get through, because there's various dates of like when you see people back in the new year. So you've got to have like a couple of different cutoffs, I think.
So it's a very interesting question that you're asking me now. On that note, so we addressed the subject end of last year that I'm not really a very Christmassy person or whatever, but normally in the beginning of the year, like when the first and the second, I try and send people, you know, Happy New Year. Mostly people in my address book that's business related, to try and just sort of say, hey, here I am thinking about you. We're gonna get this machine going in the next 2 weeks or something like that. It's actually a bit of a sensitive subject for me, because this year I decided to go through my phone list alphabetically, and then on the 1st I got to about M, and then I ran out of steam, and then yesterday I think I got to maybe about S. So there's a couple that I haven't done yet. So, but now Mbalelo said it's the 3rd, so I must just leave it.
Yeah, it's open. So,
and it's quite interesting. On that note. Speaking about stuff being a thing, there's people that now have this almost like this family customized gift story that they do, that they send back to you to say Happy New Year from our family. It was I'm just sending like a normal text message to go, okay, Happy New Year, blah blah blah, and then I get a gift back with fireworks and all kinds of things. So yeah, it's definitely it looks like it's a massive thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
and these are the same people that'll be like, I just don't have any time for anything. Work is so hectic. My life is so crazy. I'm working 15 hours. But you're making family WhatsApp New Year's gifts. It's like, I don't buy it. You know, people who there's some people who are so busy, they're never too busy to tell you they're busy. Those people.
Yeah.
And then they're making the gifts. So I actually think I got an insight here, because you said you got to M the day before, and then coincidentally then you had lunch with Mbulelo yesterday. So I see how this transpired with your lunch.
He was on T. He actually beat me to the punch, because I sent I sent some P-Ware Happy New Years, and luckily they weren't talking to each other, because otherwise Mbalelo would have come back to me and said, oh, see, there's only certain people that's getting. So Greg got one, Rena got one, some P-Ware got one, and Mbalelo didn't get one. He actually beat me to the punch.
Yeah,
it's a minefield. It's an absolute minefield. I mean, imagine if you guys were talking. I mean, what a mess it would be this morning. That would be so awkward.
No, it's like, you sent it before me. No. I've got money in the bank with Mbalelo, Paolo. It's a whole different story. On the last show of the year, he was busy speaking to Pumi, and he called me Niku. So there's a whole... I've got credit for the rest of the year. I can pretty much do whatever I want with him.
Niku, Yaku, it's really... You know what I mean? What am I supposed to do? Like, I'm trying to make a ginger tea before my show in the mornings. There's so much going on that Niku and Yaku, I mean, it really is... It's impossible to distinguish, you know what I mean? So I don't feel too bad about that.
We all look the same, mate.
As the old saying goes, every Niku and Yaku, hey? Listen, I'm happy for people that are happy. And naturally now we get into an interesting time of the year, because what do people do? New Year's resolution. It's never been a thing for me, but okay, people are doing it. So I feel like every year we're going to have to talk about it. Is that we all work in the world. You two have worked in industry far longer than I have and are way more down the road and more successful than me. But do you think there's an algorithm for people that do New Year's resolution tend to fade off quicker than people that are just like, okay, I had my goals from a month ago, December, early December, and now I get going? Or do you like that buzz of New Year's resolution for the first like 15 minutes of your work week when you get back?
I'll pick it up. Like, I noticed on social media, it's this thing about the year that stops. And I don't know why we've been like so programmed like this. Is that people that I don't even follow. Did you guys notice that people you don't even follow aren't even connected you were on your like Twitter feed?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. So I was just getting like a lot of people that have now found themselves recently muted or blocked. But by and large, they were there to troll me about going, oh, this will be the year that's different. You know, one year, different year, all those nonsense Instagram comments, yeah, whatever, right? And it's like, A, it's not going to happen. Because, I mean, either you've got the habit to, why does it have to be 1 Jan? Why does it have to be, I start a diet on Monday? Why does it have to be, I stop drinking on the first of the month? You know, why does it have to be that sort of thing? So why do you put that pressure on yourself? Because it's so impossible to start on a set date. If so many other things aren't right for you, you're just not going to stick to it. So it's like we've kind of been doing New Year's resolutions for like a couple of thousand years, and we kind of don't stick to them. So, like, why would we think this year would be different?
I was actually saying that to Mbalelo yesterday as well. Even like you say on Twitter, everybody's like on the 31st, oh, thank God, with the back of 2021, looking forward to 2022. And then it's one day to the next. What's the major difference? You actually said it beautifully now. You know, it's the way that people are programmed, but you're almost programmed just to come back and be disappointed. Or I don't know, it's bizarre.
it's like you see it. It's, you see it, you know, Umbalela and I do a sports show together, and you see it in any sport. The beginning of the season, oh no, this season will be different. It'll be this one. Somehow this year, we just feel it. This tournament, this time, it'll be different. Nothing changed. Almost nothing changed, but it will be different. So it's like that hope of new, and then 2 days in, 2 games in, you're like, nah, it's same as last year, we're done, we're going to be disappointed. God, but next year, oh, wait till you see what happens next year. Then we're on it.
Yeah, I don't know, it's bizarre. It's really, really... But I think the way that you said it, it's like we're programmed like that. It's almost like we cannot help ourselves. We have to say something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, clean slate, new diary.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly when people say, yeah, it's a new year, new me. I'm like, I'm aware that it's not. Are you doing that for you, for me? Why are we lying to one another? Like, I already like you or I don't. Let's not do this. Having said that, however, obviously in business, it's just how it works, right? The fiscal year starts when it starts. I mean, generally, for those of us in South Africa, we try and pay our taxes at the end of February. It'll end then early March. That's generally how my fiscal cycle works. But so, Jaco, for you, I mean, you're in business and you have to work at the executive level. As we were talking yesterday, something that I thought I wrote down when I got home was that, you know, when you're running companies, is that you obviously need to think strategically for yourself, and some people have only ever lived their lives as employees. You know, most people will never run businesses in their lives. I wanted to talk today about something which is on my mind because I'm in the middle of starting a business. Is what hopes do you have in general for yourself in terms of that discipline on a yearly cycle, but also what are some insights maybe for employees that they don't know about people at the executive level? And Paul, I'll let you take this as well. Because sometimes as employees, we just think about ourselves is, if they don't pay me for this, I'm not doing more. That's it. And I'm not saying whether you're right or wrong for that. That's your world. But maybe just an insight, Jaco, to at the executive level, what are your hopes for your employees that they maybe need to deliver on for themselves and for you as well, Paulo? I know you run a team as well, but I think it's applicable across the board. It's not just for your companies. It's for everyone.
You're starting with a hectic topic on the 3rd of January. I can see you straight into it.
Well, Happy New Year. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have people listening to us and going, oh, yokes are a buzzkill. We're like right into it. But look, I've obviously got quite a number of strong feelings about that. The first thing that I always say to people, and I think that when you're I normally like to refer to the people that I work with as my team members, not necessarily employees, although that is what it is. I always say the one thing that's most critical is your CV is not a piece of paper that you take to the next job that you go and hand in. Your CV is the work that you leave behind. No, so I always use a very bad example. You know, if you're a farmer and you go to, I don't know, some other farming convention, Nambu or whatever, and you go and tell everybody there you're the best in the world and, blah, blah, blah. And when people get to your farm and there's just weeds and stuff everywhere and the cattle are running loose or whatever, people can look at it and say, oh, but, you know, obviously what you told us and what we can see are two different things. So your CV is the thing that you leave behind. And that's on you. There's nothing your employer can support you, but your employer cannot make you do something to leave that proper form behind, if I can say that. So that's the one thing. And then the second thing is and you and I had a very, very long conversation about that. The saddest thing for me in the or saddest thought in the world is that people go to work just to run the clock down because they hate what they're doing. And I think if there's anything that we've learned in the last 2 years, if you're in a job like that where you're a clock watcher and you hate going there and you just don't want to do it, have COVID midlife. Go and do something different. I don't know. Go take a cooking lesson or start, I don't know, fermenting chilies or I don't know, whatever it is that you can go and do. Find another job, move to a different town. Go and do something, but you have to want to do what you're doing, and I think for me that culture has changed quite rapidly, and if I look at what we're doing ourselves is like for example in our business a bit of a nutter type scenario is we don't have any managers because I say to people, well, you don't need any, you're an adult human being. You know, in my business, I'm probably the person with the least accountability because I don't have any children, I don't have any pets. My wife looks after me quite well. Everybody at my office has got children, pets, houses, families, this. So you don't need somebody like me to tell you what to do. You know better than me what you need to do. And that internal drive has got to come from you. You can't. I don't think there's something like external motivation. Mm. I don't know what you think, Paolo.
So my part of the TED talk that I'll pick up from there is that, and I think it segues nicely, is because it's even if you're an employee, it's about adopting, they call it the entrepreneurial mindset. It's about solving little problems to eventually solve a bigger problem. And I think that's what a lot of people sit down and they go, well, everyone's got a side hustle, right? And it's exactly what you say. You're doing all these other things anyway. What if you just had to start applying it to what you're doing day to day in your job and just be a bit of an entrepreneur within your business? Because everyone sits there going, oh, well, if I could run my own business and when I've got this, I say, well, just start doing that and just start taking that little bit of accountability, even as an employee. Listen, I mean, granted, there are some terrible places to work where that's just not possible. So, I mean, a lot of people may sit in this and go, yes, that's idealistic. And I think we're lucky that we probably work in jobs and businesses and or run companies that allow people to do that. So I am cognizant of a lot of people are stuck in pretty crappy jobs, that's not possible. But even just for your own mind, just go like, okay, well, let me be an entrepreneur in my own mind and solve incremental little problems. And that's going to give me more ownership of what I do and give me more control. And you know, if you do want to start other things, like you're saying, that sort of like midlife crisis, cooking class, chili farmer, or start a podcast. Those are going to be your midlife crisis. Get out of
That's exactly it. And look, that's a great thing. And the reason that this came to my mind, because probably every single radio show in the world today is going to be happy clappy, I can imagine, welcome back to it, and they playing funky sounds. But I took a serious tone because yesterday I had lunch with Yaku, who's a pretty serious dude, and then I went to supper. afterwards. I watched my football team Chelsea try and give me a heart attack while I was at somebody's house where we were having supper, and he's a very serious dude himself, and you know this was on my mind, and I was talking to him about some stuff I want to do in business myself. And what struck me yesterday was while I was watching the football, keep in mind he's now 78 and he's made more money than God, is he was already writing new goals for this week, and he was showing me goals that he had from 1986, my birth year. He's still writing goals. He's a billionaire in dollars, and he's still writing goals while I'm watching the football. And I thought to myself, I've got no excuse. You know, after I chatted to Yaku yesterday, we covered a couple of things at lunch in business and personal life. And then I was sitting with a guy who is a titan of industry on this continent in terms of what he does. And the guy's still setting goals at 78 while I'm watching the football. And I thought, this is absolutely crazy. There's a reason why I'm where I am and why he's where he is. And he showed me his list of goals in 1986, and everything he wrote there, from fiscal to family to life, he is living today. And I thought, this is an absolutely crazy situation. So I didn't want to make this podcast happy clappy, everything's going to be great. And I wrote down two things last night before I went to bed that I wanted to share with people, which I'd written down at the end of November, and they came to light yesterday. So my thing to what Paolo was saying was, for this year is, I think I did quite a bit last year, but I want to develop an appetite to do more. And that's to your problem solving thing, Paolo. It's like, to a lot of people who have an employee mindset, I just want to tell you something now, is people pay you to solve their problems. Forget everything else. Every single successful person I know keeps telling me, I can't tell you the amount of money I will pay somebody who takes the problems off my plate. Because people want to do executive stuff. I want to do strategy. I want to do networking. I want to open new channels in China or whatever companies are doing. If you are a problem solver, your income potential is exponential. It is exponential what people will pay you. So that's just one of the things, is I want to develop an appetite to do more, and that is to solve people's problems around me. So that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to, and I'll let you guys in here. It's something that I've said before, is this year, in whatever you're doing, right, it's something that I need to up myself, because I realized something very painfully last year. I try to help two people on a journey, but I realized something, because I'm quite a control freak, right? I don't like things when I can't control it in my environment. You can't change people. You can't change people. Like, you can't make people what they're not. And I was talking to this guy last night about it, and I was explaining these two people after I tried to give them some tools to solve personal issues, which I thought would solve their work issues. You can't change people. And I have to accept that. I can't control people. I can't motivate people. I can't put it into somebody to want the things that I want. And again, those people can't make me what I don't want. You're right. You can't make me want what I don't want if I'm as disciplined as I say I am. And that was a really bitter pill for me to swallow. And this guy last night said to me, you know, when I was telling him kind of the internal struggle I had of not being able to help these people, he said to me, here's the problem. You're not realistic. He said to me, they're not the problem. You're the problem. Get real. You need to get real. You can't help those people off the ledge, and it's not your place, quite frankly. So for me, develop an appetite to do more. And if you can't win, make sure you can't lose. So that is my message to myself, and maybe that resonates with people. Maybe it doesn't. Solve people's problems and do more. So I hope both of you guys have that in your companies and in your personal lives.
Yeah, so I think, Sambalela, like we said yesterday, I just Googled it now. Les Brown is the name we couldn't remember.
Yes.
But I mean, Les Brown, he always says, you've got to be hungry. And the point is if you want change, and I mean, maybe coming back to the whole New Year's resolutions, you know, we're doing a New Year's resolution because we want to create the forecast for ourselves that something is going to be better or different than it was the year before. And there's only one person that can make that change in your life, and it's you. So if you and you're 100% right. The way that you get it in a career is you fix people's problems. If you can do that, then the world is your oyster. But you've got to be hungry.
Yeah, and you've got to stay hungry. You've got to have the discipline that it's never enough. You've got to have that discipline. When I was sitting with this guy yesterday, I can't tell you what his house looks like. It's mental. You know, for our international listeners, this guy lives in Sandown, but he behaves like he's just walked into the company. Like it was Sunday night. He loves football. You know, he loves Liverpool. He's loved Liverpool his whole life, and we're watching the Chelsea Liverpool game. But there he is setting goals, writing them down. I thought, bloody hell, this guy out here making me look bad. Like, you've already got it, right? It is what it is. But let's move on to something. Obviously, we lost a legend as well in this year. People are going to die every year. That's what happens. I'm sorry. We're human. We're fallible. That's what happens. Paolo, you yesterday you said you want to speak about Golden Con. And, you know, are these con things, these conferences, are they like the biggest things in the world now? And now there's Golden Con. So I'm going to let you explain what Golden Con is, Paolo. How on earth, what are people taking like their hip replacements to Golden Con? And you can explain what it is, and then people will understand why I'm talking about hip replacements.
Well, I mean, it's a sort of like fan convention in general. They're not massive in South Africa, but in the States, and that there's a convention for everything. And I think we've seen a couple of years, we saw like a Comic Con a few years ago, and you can sort of see like the celebration of fan culture. But yeah, why you bring it up is obviously Betty White. I would be so upset if I'm 99 sans 2 weeks and I don't make it to 100. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about goals, and once you're over there, like if you go over 80, you go, okay, cool, that's fine. Then I think once you're 99, you're 2 weeks away from your 100. Like, that's upsetting. Like, I would haunt somebody.
Everyone.
If that had happened to me. I'd haunt everybody. So maybe that's a bad omen. Maybe Betty White's going to be upset that she didn't make her 100. And maybe we're being dismissive here. But I mean, 100's a good inning. 99's a good inning. But 100.
Yeah.
2 weeks away.
Yeah.
That upset me, right? So Betty White's obviously passed away, but a few weeks ago we found out in, I think it's April this year, I'm just going to double check the dates, Golden Con, Yaku, listen to this, is the convention for Golden Girls fans. Right?
No ways. You know,
ways. So,
oh, yeah. I mean,
what everyone's been reminded of this week is Golden Girls. Right? Over the past few days, we're seeing a lot of clips and from Golden Girls. It's like, oh, okay, I remember Bea Arthur. We're all a little bit of Estelle Getty. I think we're, what is her name, Sophia?
Yeah.
She was a little mother, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
She was the best. She was violence. And but this year in April in Chicago, they're doing Golden Con. And you got to love the intro to this. It's called Golden Con, Thank You for Being a Fan. And if we threw a party and we're inviting everyone we knew or everyone we know. So it's going to be a full-on Golden Girls convention, dress-ups, handbags, quote your favorite lines. They're going to be doing little skit episodes. And they were talking about seeing if they could get Betty White in at least on a video conference if they couldn't travel. So that's a bummer for anyone who like bought Golden Con tickets. And like, I'm going to be there to see Betty White. But the amount of B. Arthurs, I'm there for the B. Arthurs. That's what I want to see, B. Arthur cosplay.
So out of the, probably every drag queen in Chicago will have a field day. How many of the, are there any of them that's still alive?
I think they're all gone. I think Betty White was the last one.
Jeez.
The last one.
Yeah, they're all gone. The little condominium in the sky. I'd be fuming.
My brother just moved to Chicago. I'm gonna let him know he must go and check out Golden Con. Is it the first time they've done this? Or is it a?
No, this is the first one. So apparently they had one planned for the pandemic year, the first pandemic year, and then obviously they've held it off till now. But it's happening.
Betty White. I mean, what a loss. Golden Con, hey? I guess you know what? Anything's possible now. Anything is possible. I'm totally open-minded to Golden Con. What we got? What's next? Transformer Con.
When we did the Comic Con, yeah, which was massive. It was really, really big when they did Comic Con Africa, and they didn't segmented. You went into different parts of Gallagher Estate, which is massive. You think of Gallagher Estate, and every hall was filled with something. And whether it was comics or Funko Pops or video games or what do they call it? I'm going to get it wrong, but where they play with a little, it's not role playing. Whether it is with the cards or throwing the dice games or Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
And my wife was astounded, but she's like, I'm not a she's like married way above my pay grade. And so I'm the nerd, and she goes, what you got to admire is how much everybody loves something. So even with Golden Con, right, or anything, you've got to love how people just love what they love. You know, no matter how it is, like throwing dice to move little dragons around a board. You've got to love how somebody loves that. Even if you don't understand, you've got to, I appreciate that. I love it. Whether it's guys who love car shows or whatever it is, it's like you've got to love how people love stuff.
Yeah.
But in those comics and stuff like that, it almost becomes like a religion. If you, I mean, if you talk about Marvel versus, I don't know, what's the other ones?
DC.
If you mention... Yeah, to get the characters wrong, people get upset with you. You can probably get attacked or something.
Well, speaking of that, yesterday was a day for me which I regret deeply. And by the way, the MKT Show podcast will be on later. You can find that wherever you find your podcast. Because I'll do a full proper review of the Eternals, which I went to watch yesterday. It's one of the most cataclysmic events in film history, because honestly, it's one of the worst movies ever. Because what I don't understand is, with the budget they've got, why is the writing so loose? There's so many loopholes in the writing, and it's not even attached to Endgame or any of the stories, really. They mention it like twice in the movie, but it's so disconnected from what they were doing before. And at what point do we actually start to say, this is ridiculous now? Like, I can't suspend my belief to this point. This is mental. This we've now gone to a point where we're having fun on screen to, this is pathetic now. Let's stop it. Let's include Thanos again, and let's go back to Tony Stark, because this is so ridiculous, and all you're doing is creating another universe. Plus, now you got Jon Snow on. By the way, spoiler alert, the guy who's Jon Snow, if you didn't watch Game of Thrones, that's your problem. I can't help you. It's the greatest show ever. Anyway, so now he's in the mix. It's mental. I want to tell you, that is the worst movie I've probably seen in the last 10 years. The Eternals is an absolute horror show.
So what happened? Did you lose a bet, or why, how did you end up going to watch it?
He's on a mission. He's on a mission. So, and Jaco, to your point, I actually saw a comment from Michelle, Dungeons and Dragons tutor, who is this person that we talk about religion. So that, like, if you... They don't, like, lose... I mean, Michelle, like, corrects us very quickly when... And not in, like, a bad way. We're just, like, casual fans, and we're commenting. And I saw Michelle popped up a comment just now. But... Umbrella's on a bit of a thing. He's like on a 2 year later into superhero movies. So like now he's like watching them. Now he's become the Barry Wrong of the Marvel Universe.
It's true.
So he's like reviewing all of them bit by bit, bit later. So this is his thing. And now it's a bit of a completist. So now he's done one. He needs to get it to the
next. What a pivot that.
It really is. It really is. And now he's the expert on it. And he tells us all, you know, that he knows everything. And
I do.
We don't.
I do know everything. So,
yeah, so...
Belillo, do you know who Barry Wrong is?
Do I know who Barry... do I know who Barry... I'm so glad you asked that, Jaco. Do I know who Barry Wrong is? So, after watching yesterday's Eternals, a film for the young ones, a film not so much for the old ones, having watched it, I would give it a sultry 6. Do I know who Barry Wrong is? Are you joking? Do I know who Barry Wrong is? Unbelievable.
Checking. I'm just checking. you can take that in any... I'm not sure. But it's quite a pivot from your sporting career to go and become a commentator on the in a comic universe.
I'm what they call a Swiss Army knife, because I'm in content, right? I'm a popular culture commentator, and the man in the arena, as Roosevelt says, I have to be the man in the arena. How can I comment on this stuff if I don't get involved? You know what I mean, Jaco? I want to be legit. I want to be too legit to quit. Yeah, I'm saying, Paolo.
I've got to be honest. When it comes to these things, I normally don't even know what the difference is between Star Trek and Star Wars, and it's caused a little bit of consternation in my house every now and again. But yeah, there's so many of these stuff, Black Widow, this, that, I don't know, I can't keep up with all of this stuff. So I just see it as another one. And then they're all linked and everybody knows each other. And, yeah. You know, I don't know. It's
now, Paolo, you are quite a comic book expert, actually. Like, so a big thing for me is, for those who don't know, if you haven't seen, so I got a fan. So Thanos is the greatest character. Well, it's tough for me because Sir Ian McKellen was someone called Magneto. I believe that's the greatest villain I've ever seen in modern day film. But now there's a new character called Thanos, right, in these Avenger things. And he's the greatest character I've ever seen outside of Sir Ian McKellen. And now I got somebody bought me a bobblehead, Ryan, one of our guys, who will co-host this show tomorrow. And obviously now I'm the aforementioned expert. But Paolo, he had a better one. He had Thanos in a Christmas jersey as soon as I sent him my one. So I was like, okay, I've got to out Marvel Universe Paolo, who's an actual expert. So Paolo, I don't know, are you going to watch Eternals?
I'm not an expert, I'm a fan. So there's a difference. Yeah. No, I don't know if I'll watch
expert
it.
Fan.
Yes, I'm an expert on fans. I don't think I'll watch it. Because I saw you setting up towards it and that you're going to watch it, and I've not heard good things. And then I thought, oh, let me see what this is. Let me gauge it. Because it's long, hey? It's almost 3 hours.
Oh, it's painful. It's painful. 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You had quite a marathon day yesterday.
I did.
It takes a while. Yeah, you sound like you had a very busy day. How did you fit that all in? What I think they're doing is they're actually trolling everyone. Because they go, you know, we've had like 10 years of success. Let's just do something and people think, oh, maybe this is kind of like the iPod Touch and that we're like losing it a little bit, and then they come back with you know what I mean, so I think that's what they kind of did. It's just to throw us off the scent, just to throw us off and go, oh no, maybe they've lost a little bit.
So just a question, so this Eternals, is it based on a existing comic book thing that existed previously? So it's not like stuff they're just sucking out of their thumbs.
Doesn't seem like
it's all existing stuff, and it's all existing characters. You've got to remember, they're also like translating characters from the 60s and 70s, where the majority of comic book writers were high on LSD. So that's why, like, how do we put it to today's sensitivities? Where it's just like cocaine and Molly. So yeah. Now we've got to like, it's sort of like, have that
mindset. Yeah, it makes sense. After what I had to endure yesterday, and again, I tell you what offended me was the amount of social, like, box ticking. There's just so much. Now, the one guy, so there's the black guy, spoiler alert, he turns out to be gay all of a sudden. So 7,000 years into his journey, he decides, okay, well, I'm gay now. I'm going to adopt a son. What? Like, why is that necessary? Why do they need an identity politic for people? And I guess the argument is, people need to see themselves in heroes, right? Like the one lady's deaf she's got super speed, but she's deaf. And I guess the argument will be people need to see themselves as heroes, and this is a commentary on the social world, blah, blah, blah. But I thought, come on. Yeah, like, is this what we're doing now? So it was terrible for so many reasons, but I guess if you're into it, go and watch it. I would not recommend it, though. I wouldn't.
How many people were in the movies?
Too many. People, can we get off our phones in the cinema? Like, people are taking photos in the thing. Like, bit of a nightmare experience. So I wouldn't recommend it. I think I might go and watch Spider-Man tonight, though, and see what the vibe is there, because I haven't had enough punishment, and I've hated the previous two Spider-Man films, so I'm going to go again tonight, just so I have something to complain about tomorrow. So I don't know what you think.
You're just doubling down, yeah.
That's it. If I'm already in the sewer, just keep digging. Give me a bigger shovel. That's what I'm figuring for tonight.
See, I wasn't going to put you off it because I feel that the cinema chains have been through enough. I mean, they're in business rescue. They need so any cent that they can get from you, I'll say no. Go watch the movie, even if I know it's going to be a stinker. So just go watch it. They need. We've got to support businesses. Stirk Ken Accord's been around longer than all of us. They invented movies. I think South Africa had the first cinema outside of the USA.
Oh, really?
I don't think I'm wrong. I think we had the first cinema outside of the USA.
We have a lot of firsts, eh?
That's amazing.
Yeah, heart transplant and whatever else. So, Ruth, Rebellious...
Is this Spider-Man, is this the one with... What is Cumberbatch, what's his character? That
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. There's a lot happening there. Yako, if you're not in it, it's too late now. You got to get involved. Rebellious Ruth says, "What did you think of Spider-Man?" Okay, very Disney feel to it, even though it had nothing to do with it. So, I guess, I mean, Spider-Man's meant to be a little boy, right? Like a high school kid.
And also, it's got a Disney feel to it because remember that, like. Marvel is a vehicle to sell merch, right? I mean, they're making their money off the movies, but I mean, the real money comes off the merch and the kids' pajamas and the water bottles and things like that. So, you know, that's who they've got.
Lunchboxes, yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, Spider-Man might happen tonight because you have to be in it. You know what my biggest fear is? I never want to sound like my parents. You know, everybody knows that one person. And if you're this person, it's fine. But let me just tell you, it's not very cool. It's not as cool as you think it is to say they don't make real music today. Like, no, you don't get to do that. Listen to new music. You're going to be dead soon. You know, you're going to be 99 and 50 weeks old, like Betty, and you're going to go soon. And your thing is, I didn't join in with the kids. Like, I was starting to sound like that. So I don't want to be that guy. I want to be in it. If I'm going to complain about it, at least get in the mix. You've got to be the man in the arena. That's kind of my approach. Let's see how long it lasts because yesterday has derailed me. My God, it was awful.
Do you think Betty White, like, had the sense of that? That, like, she was just watching all of us, like, 99 years old. Like, I've seen it all before. Like, I've seen it. I've seen a pandemic. Would you have seen a pandemic?
Sure. Yeah,
just, yeah, yeah, for sure. No, well, yeah, Spanish flu, 1918 onwards, yeah.
So she would have born 1920, she would have been 1922, so she would have just missed it. But, I mean, she's seen world wars, she's seen technology coming, she's seen everything. And so you think she's just sitting there watching, going, yeah, don't get in your feels about this.
Yeah.
You know, like that sense of perspective that must come with being 99.
Or resentment. Like there's perspective or just like human beings have been crap for 100 years in my life. And then
that's going worse.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They've just got more stuff to be crap with. Yes, there's like Netflix to be crap on now.
Can we just have another World War II thing?
That's probably what Betty White was thinking then. But she's an all-timer. You know, she survived. She was funny in her 80s, 90s. And she kept that energy. So somebody who's really, really awesome to kind of look forward to. Now, you into Batman? Any of you guys? Oh, you're joking. Unbelievable. See, this is what happens. Yaku, this is why I have to become the guy. See, what Paolo's doing now is that's called a flex by the young kids. For those of you on the podcast, he's, as I said, Batman. He's pulled out a Batman bobblehead, which is incredibly awesome, by the way. So Michael Keaton, here's the truth about Batman. Michael Keaton's the only Batman. Everybody else is just diluted copies. So don't worry about it. It's Keaton's Batman. And then it's all about the directors. Because the Bale one... Christian Bale.
What about Christian Bale?
Yeah, well, he's just a diluted copy. Yeah, he's like, okay, put a guy in a suit and and give him a deep voice. But Christopher Nolan gave that trilogy an incredible feel, right? He gave it a dark kind of... He gave it sort of a... It was the first time I thought Batman was kind of scary. Like, that guy's capable of something.
Isn't the new Batman now that Oak from Twilight, what's his name?
Robert Pattinson.
Pattinson,
he's the new Batman.
I mean, how's that going to work?
Yeah, listen, I watched the thing yesterday where Angelina Jolie, for whatever reason, had a weird English accent, even though she's one of the most famous American actresses of all time. She's in Eternals. I don't know why they have to give her an accent. But so who knows what's going on? But there's a new Batman coming. There's Spider-Man that's out. You got to get out there. Like, it's 2022, you know? We've been locked in. You got to get into stuff. Just even if it's to say you hate it, just get into stuff.
So I think the thing with Robert Pattinson being Batman is that, so how do you separate him from being a sparkly vampire?
A fairy, yeah.
And it's the same thing, like, right, with Christian Bale, I kept expecting him right through Batman to, like, break into his American Psycho character and start telling me about the ins and outs of Phil Collins' albums, you know? And I was like, I kind of wanted that. Would have made Batman, like, 10 times better. So maybe it's going to be the same thing. I was like, okay, I am watching you doing a good job as Batman, but maybe if you sparkle, like, I think that could be the key to it. Like, just cross these things over, right? Because we're really in our heads. Like,
well, so there's Batman Mars, there's these two fangs or something like
that. Yeah. Like, do something like that. Like, bats have fangs. Like, I mean, it works for everyone. It's like, yeah, when I was a kid, I couldn't understand. Like, I thought all, and I'm sure a lot of people, that all TV shows were live. So I couldn't understand if I was watching a show, and then on another channel, that same person was playing the same character. I was like, are the sets next to each other? Like, did they walk out that to go into the other? So if we just, like, apply that to all logic, then that's what we do, right? So we just keep crossing these universes because it doesn't matter anyway. It's like Michael Keaton is, like, seven people in the Marvel Universe. It's fine. Let him be Mr. Dad as well. Let him be duplicity. Let there be, like, multiple Batmans to tie in all his movies. I think that's the key to what we're doing here.
And I guess being a superhero is just a job. It's a very good point. Like, Michael Keaton's just moving places. For those who haven't seen the last...
Freelancer.
That's exactly it. Is for those who haven't seen the last Spider-Man, Michael Keaton just turns up as, like, the main villain. I forget what villain he is, but it's like, hello... I've been alive long enough to know that Michael Keaton is Batman. I know that. It's weird now that he's in another thing as a villain. That's weird, by the way. Very weird.
He's coming back as Batman, by the way.
What?
So in The Flash, in the teaser trailer for The Flash, they go to the Batcave and you see Michael Keaton's Batman. Because of the cowl that he's got is similar.
Yeah.
So he's coming back as Batman. So there's going to be, like, there's multiple Jokers. There's going to be multiple Batmans.
Batmanites. Batmanians.
Whatever.
Yeah. Corona's Boring says, talking about vampires, they really need to cast Klaus Schwab as the next Bond villain. I don't know who Klaus Schwab is.
No, I don't know. I'm going to do a quick Google.
Oh, all right. Okay, so Corona's Boring, that's maybe a little next level for me there. Rebellious Ruth says, I hope Disney would continue with their back stories of their villains. Loved Maleficent. That's why they should have... what? That's what they should have done. Still should. So Maleficent, was that with Angelina Jolie?
So that's the thing I'm saying. In Eternals, give her the whole horns thing. Like in Maleficent. So it's just take the best, because nobody's ever going to play a good character all the time.
Yeah.
So if you're in a bind, just go, oh, you know what? Like, copyright infringements be damned. I need to make a good movie here. I'm just going to cross over Maleficent, because all the movies have multiple universes now. So Eternals, Angelina Jolie, let her Tomb Raider. Put her in a Tomb Raider show.
That's it.
Put it all together. You know?
I wonder if you're keen for that.
Who knows? If the check's big enough.
Keen for that.
Yeah. If the check's big enough, it's going to happen.
That's such a good point.
We were all doing New Year's Eve. We're all like, okay, I need to find the right combination of what I'm going to do that I can have a good time but not feel terrible tomorrow. Just keep throwing things into the mix until you have a hit. So Eternals, Angelina Jolie's accent in Tomb Raider shorts, Maleficent horns. I think we got something.
Yes.
Bulletproof. This is why you're in the business. This is exactly why you're in the business. I absolutely love it. So yeah, Eternals, I don't know. Spider-Man, let's see what happens. Now, Yaku, for you, are you going to watch any of these movies?
Let me just say quickly, Balela, let me just tell you quickly, Klaus Schwab is the chairman of the World Economic Forum. That's quite a laugh. That's really funny.
As the next Bond villain. Well, if you haven't seen the Michael Schumacher documentary on Netflix, please do go and watch that if you're into sport, right? In that, Mika Häkkinen, is it Mika Häkkinen or Kimi Räikkönen? One of the two.
Kimi
Räikkönen is sitting there. And he's got those thin glasses with the thin, like, steel frame that, and he's sitting in a room where all the tables are glass and it's just like gray and silver and there's mirrors everywhere. There's already a Bond villain waiting to happen who can drive really fast and you can save on the budget. It's unbelievable if you haven't seen it. He's the next Bond villain. So maybe Schwab as his boss, as his financier, and Kimi as the guy. It's ridiculous how... So I don't know if you've ever seen Finnish people. When they're blonde and pasty, they are already a Bond villain. Like that's what they are.
Like scary.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's wearing the Bond villain suit already. So you don't need to spend anything on money. Just get him. So I don't know if you've seen it, Paolo.
If you're looking for Formula One guys to be Bond villains, I reckon Toto Wolff has got to be a Bond villain. He doesn't even need to change his name. Nothing.
His accent perfect.
Wolf is perfect. Toto Wolff has got to be a Bond villain.
Yeah, no, that, and he's already a billionaire. He's already like angry at everyone. He's almost like the Newcastle owner lady. So there's a lady called Amanda Staveley. Look her up. She already looks like a villain, and has all the money in the world. So Toto's already got all the money in the world. So his options for being terrible are limitless, because he knows what to do with money already. You know what I mean? I don't want a villain that doesn't have money and is new to money. That's a terrible villain, because they're never good at it. You know what I mean?
No, like an inheritance villain. No, you want a career villain.
Want
a career villain, not like he's just recently come
into
villain.
Like a generational villain.
That's it.
His father was an his great grandfather was an archduke. Heads on sticks. It's like that's what you want. That's generational villain. I like it.
Yeah. Paolo, you made a good point just now, and Rebellious Ruth is coming back to that. Ryan Reynolds was the only actor who got really lucky with Deadpool being cast again, and he pulled it off. That is a good point. So, Paolo, you maybe want to tell us where Deadpool came from so people really understand that statement.
So, firstly, Ryan Reynolds and I would be best friends. I've got no doubt about it. It's just a matter of time till we meet each other, and he and I will be best friends. It will happen. We'll get matching tattoos. We'll make bad decisions. So,
sounds like
Ryan
bromance in the making.
It's got beyond bromance. I feel it's more tangible than that. Yeah, no. It'll be big. It'll be the great story of the next century.
Some people make New Year's resolutions. Other people just manifest stuff. So, I mean, it's just like putting it out in the universe. It's coming.
That's it. Or live in a fantasy world. Whether it happens or not, it's happened in my head. So that's okay. There are some love letters in my drawer from him. So Ryan Reynolds is one of those actors who's got into playing Ryan Reynolds all the time. So, like, he doesn't act like anybody else. He's just Ryan Reynolds just doing different stuff. So with Deadpool, he wanted to do Deadpool for years. That when they offered him Deadpool in one of the X-Men movies, they offered him this weird... He wasn't even titled as Deadpool. They called him Wade Wilson, which is Deadpool's name. And then his mouth sewed shut. It was just a mess of a thing. And he apologizes about doing it. Even at the end of the one Deadpool, he goes back and kills that character. So he had Deadpool in the works for years until he eventually got the rights to do it and did it perfectly and just like completely manifested and embodied the character. So that's what I'm saying. Like sometimes be like Ryan Reynolds, you know, so just carry on taking all your roles into your superhero roles.
That's it.
So because that's it. He's like Al Pacino. Who else doesn't play anyone but themselves? Adam Sandler.
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg's another one. When we were talking about the other day, Mark Wahlberg was playing like a New York cop, but still had a Boston accent.
No, so if you don't know this, Transformers 5, which is the only competition Eternals has as the worst movie of all time, in this, Mark Wahlberg is supposed to be an inventor from Texas who lives on a small holding, but he's got his Boston accent. It never changes. And Sir Anthony Hopkins, by the way, is Sam Witwicky's grandfather who's keeping dragons in England. It's a very weird thing. But yeah, Mark Wahlberg plays himself every single time. Ricky Gervais is another one. Ricky Gervais, he doesn't even do an accent.
No.
Ricky doesn't even do an accent. Whatever he's doing, he's doing that himself. Ryan Tinline says, but the Green Lantern was trash. He was lucky to be able to bounce back. So that's obviously Ryan Reynolds who played the Green Lantern. So, you see, are these films a commentary on culture, though, Paolo? Because it is important to some extent to say, if stuff is going to get in the consciousness of kids, do these films commentate on culture, and are they relevant still today? Because nobody goes to theater anymore, do they? Like, it's not 1850.
No. So I think the cynicism of it is how they just keep rehashing old things because they've got a built-in market. So, you know, somebody who grew up with a franchise is more likely to take the kids to it than you got two generations of fans instead of trying to teach people, like, new lore. You know, that's why I think, like, something like Game of Thrones did so well because, I mean, okay, yes, it was based on something, but it also didn't have a genesis in something else. And that's where I think a bit of the cynicism comes in of going, like, well, now we just... We're creating generational fans. It's like football teams. It's like the dad will pass down onto the children, you know, the mom will pass down onto the children to support teams, and that's the same thing they're doing with movies. So it's never about creating new stuff. It's just, okay, well, let's just rehash the old things and just keep them going for 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, so that is where we are. I mean, Yaku, you do have to run a company with in excess of 40 employees. So I can understand that I've got time to watch the stuff. I would not recommend starting with Eternals. Don't do it. Don't even consider it.
No, I think I'm okay. But listen, if I can just always bring back the Afrikaans side of me. So you were talking about the gutter content earlier. Can I tell you in the Cape Net world, the master of that is Rian van Heerden. That guy is a genius. He understands Afrikaans better than Afrikaans people understand Afrikaans. He's got a show on Showmax or Cape Net called The Sinner. So it's this guy that you can see dead people and communicate to the. It's
like Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, it's like that. And then they go to real people's houses, so they'll go to people somewhere way in the East Rand or whatever. I think, yeah, like Nigel or something like that. And then go, they've got a little boy who can see a little girl there, but nobody else can. And then this guy comes and he says, oh, the house was built on a graveyard.
You're talking about a reality show here. I thought this was a movie.
No, it's reality. No, it's and it's all Rian van Heerden. He's got a number of these things. I'm sure who's that guy that got shot in Mullershift? I'm sure he must have been on one of Rian's shows. Rian is a genius. He understands Afrikaans better than anybody else.
And this is Rian van Heerden. He's also the Jack Randa FM presenter. That's same real.
That's him.
I didn't know that.
That's
wow.
Him.
Wow. So he's the Joob of the Afrikaans world.
He just churns out the one show after the next. He's got another one where, I don't know, on Showmax, there's a million of them. And then you see executive producer Rian van Heerden. And it's all this, like, nobody in their right mind would admit watching the shows, but I can tell you if you're Afrikaans, you're watching it because you're like, flip, I can't believe this stuff is happening. I can't believe it exists.
Yeah, he's like Jerry Bruckheimer for everyone in the Wusrand. So shout out to him. That's an awesome thing. Listen, hey, he knows his market. He's going to get his money, and you know he doesn't have to have New Year's resolutions because he's just raking all of the money off the table. So shout out to Rian.
Unashamedly.
Well, nothing wrong with that. Before I let you gentlemen go, because our hour is nearly up, Yaku, when are you back at the office? I mean, you know, as much as people want to still be having a good time, when do you head back? Are you heading back, or are you just going to start working from home and phase back slowly next week?
No. I'm going to have one more coffee, and then I'm off to the office.
One more coffee?
On the 3rd of Jane, yeah.
How many have you had already?
No, just one.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I have two in the morning, and then yeah. Clock is ticking.
Yako, I'm cutting you in there. You see, now what Umbulelo doesn't understand is that I don't know if you've ever shared his coffee. Have you ever had his coffee?
He doesn't cheat.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Oh, well, okay. Well, I was, I don't know if I was
unashamed as far as that's concerned.
Well,
no.
Paolo's got a story here.
This is why he can't understand one more coffee like this time in the morning. So the one day I'm with him and he, you know, his coffee process is a process. The beans are being ground. There's bags from places. And he says to me, would you like some coffee? So I'm like, yeah, I would like some coffee. You talk about this coffee all the time. I know you. He offered me some coffee. It was from Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast. His sister had just bought back a bag of this blend. So he's making this coffee and he pours it out for me after like 25 minutes. Listen, like, when
he offers you a little grinder thingy, he stands there for 20 minutes going like this.
Exactly that. Okay. So if you're in the mood for coffee now, don't know. If you want coffee, like, eventually in your life, then say, yes, I'd love some coffee eventually in my life. So he does pour this coffee and he says, maybe you want to add some water into it. So I go, no, I can handle like decently strong coffee. I'm not afraid of it. Jesus, my God. It was a Sunday morning that I had this. I saw through time. I saw today, like from then. This was like in October. I saw through to today. I could hear colors. I was like, and then that stuff aside, I saw a Good Eternals movie. I went to another universe where there was a Good Eternals movie. It was that morning, and then that afternoon, I went to a family function. Only after I'd eaten and I had like 5 liters of water did I stop shaking. But I was shaking constantly from this tar that he gave me. It was great tasting coffee, no doubt. Great tasting.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. That's why he is astounded that somebody's had more than 2 cups.
Yeah.
Or 8, because that stuff is...
That's probably why he can run as far as he does. He probably just has a heat of that and then he goes for 100 kilometers. There we go.
100%. 100% understood immediately. I think it was like a few weeks before he did that race.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah. He's on the day because they'll test him. They'll test you for stimulants.
That's why
you've got to be careful taking that stuff and running that close to the coast, because you just run right off into the Atlantic seaboard. You end up in Peru. That stuff is violent.
So Yaku, now you understand why I'm shocked, because I don't listen. If you're going to drink, and I did warn Paolo, I did say, do you want to have water in that? Because I know what people drink. Like people. I went to someone's house. So what I do now is I have to take my own coffee with me, because when I go to people's houses, I'm not a very polite person either in that sense. You know, it's like, no, I've got good coffee here. And then I see pods and then I see the bag of beans, and I kind of, no, it's cool. Do you have tea? And now they start asking questions. I'm like, no, I can see what you've got. I'm not drinking that. That's a waste of my time.
But if they have tea, can it be any tea? Can it be Joko?
No. Don't be ridiculous. I got. Do you have something from Woolworths? As you can see there, this is my ginger blend that I've got from Woolworths. No. Otherwise, I'll just have a glass of water if you don't mind. A filter water. If you don't have filter water, don't worry. I'm not thirsty. So, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So. There's that. But yes, Yaku, you go to the office.
We're off the time, but I'll tell you a quick story.
Go ahead.
So my old man in his, who by the way drinks instant coffee. We don't talk about that, but he drinks it black without sugar. In his very very first congregation, he goes to go and do a home visit. He's a Duomini, and. He sits down and he says, as he comes in, he was sitting in the kitchen. As he comes in, there's a bucket of milk on the floor. So he's busy chatting. He was still not after the order then. And he walks in and he sees, there's a fire too, and some dogs coming in and out. And then the dog walks past and it takes a lick out or two out of the milk bucket there. And then the person says, do you want coffee? He said, yeah. Okay. They got taught they have to have coffee. And he was still drinking milk then. And the lady goes and she takes the milk out of that same bucket. And then after that, black, no sugar. That's the way it is.
So, he learned his lesson.
It can get worse. Whatever scenario you can dream of in Bolelo, it can get worse.
It can get worse. All right. Well, Yaku, enjoy the office. And we'll have you around. You're on the podcast here. with us. You'll be with Cliff Central throughout the year. Great way to start the year. Thanks so much, Jakob, for taking the time, and I'm looking forward to seeing what great things you do this year. Paolo, we'll obviously be with you on the MKT show, and we'll see plenty of you. That 80 show, of course, which you can find on cliffcentral.com, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So these two gentlemen, of course, friends of Cliff Central, and beyond that. So, gentlemen, thank you, and I do hope for you a fantastic business and family year. Stay loved and stay blessed, and I look forward to spending and learning from you guys this year. Really looking forward to that, and I appreciate both of you.
Thank you. Compliments of the season.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, all right. Oh, there it is. All right. Let's end it there. That's enough. That is enough. Unbelievable. Thank you, gentlemen.
Cheers. Okay, cool.
CliffCentral.com.